I'm going to ask, if you would, in your Bibles, to turn to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to look at some really familiar scripture here tonight. God's given me a message. I hope that we'll look at it in a different way. And the message this evening, Brother Jim, Brother Richard, is the good gifts of the good Father. The good gifts of the good Father. If you've reached the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, I'd ask you to stand this evening if you're able, and if that's a possibility for you. We're going to read just a few verses here in the 15th chapter, starting at the 16th verse. Now, this is incredibly familiar scripture, and of course, it talks about the prodigal son. In verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and it talks about the choices, really not just of the younger son, but also of the self-righteousness, as it were, of the older son. But we're not going to look at those tonight. We're going to look at the father and at the story here that Jesus himself gave us. So in Luke, the 15th chapter, the 16th verse, let's start at the 14th verse. Talking about the younger son, it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, he came to his father." Now look at his father in verse 20. "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Look at verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring forth the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here tonight, Lord, in this wonderful pulpit at Bible Way Baptist Church. And God, the message that you've laid in my heart, the preparation I've done, I pray, Lord, that all that will just come forward tonight, Lord, in a way that magnifies Jesus, what he's done for us in our life, the love that he has for us, Lord, the grace and the mercy that's been bestowed upon us. What a great father that you are, that you love your children in such a special way. Lord, I just pray that tonight particularly, if there's someone here, that their relationship with you, Lord, isn't what it should be. It's not what you would have it to be. Perhaps, Lord, tonight there's even someone here that's never asked Christ to come into their life and be their Savior, that they'll just hear this message with their heart tonight, Lord, not just with their ears, but that they'll feel every word as it flows from heaven. These things, Lord, we ask in your blessed name. Amen. The gifts of the good father. Now, typically, when we look at this scripture, we look at the younger son, right? And we typically think about the choices that he made and, the errors that he made. It was a terrible choice in life. Now, the truth of the matter is, this guy wasn't the last of his kind. You look around today, and I see several young men here. Many years ago, I used to be a young man. I'm not anymore. And it just seems terrible, the fact that some of you men say, "Amen." We make bad choices, particularly when we're young in life. Amen? And we walk through life with that background, with that luggage, and we repent of our sins, and we wonder if God can ever forgive us. Well, if you look at the message that's here, and you consider the context that's given, the Bible tells us in the verses just before this that Jesus had actually just been insulted, had been called out as a friend of the publicans and the sinners by the Pharisees. And you look at the messages that Jesus gave, and he talks about God's ability to save and to redeem and to forgive and to restore. And you look at this younger son and the terrible choices that he made. And by the way, the older brother, he had his own issues. He was self-righteous, as it were. The Bible tells us that, his father, the good father, had to even go to him and entreat him. He had to beg him. just to have a restored relationship with his brother, to come in and to be merry. And in the world around us today, we want to avoid both those extremes. We're not going to walk in sin, and we're certainly not going to be pleasing to God when we walk outside of his will. And God hasn't called us to be self-righteous either. But in the middle of these two, we see this broken family, and we see this loving father. Now, I want to start this message by saying that sometimes you may look at your family, and if you look at your family and you think, my family is dysfunctional, and my family is broken, and there's things that I would prefer that people never know about my family. We wouldn't ask for a show of hands here because there would be many that went up, including mine. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at relationships from the beginning of time, you see that Satan has always taken opportunities to reach into that most precious of God's creations, the family, and to disrupt them. Think about it. Adam and Eve had one son that was a murderer and one that was a martyr. Noah, his son sailed with him, and as soon as they hit dry land, one of them made a very bad choice. You think about David. His son rebelled against him. He assaulted his stepsister, as it were. And you look all through the Word of God, and you realize the vulnerability that we have as families. Somebody say amen there. And if God has blessed you with a great family, you need to pray for that family, and you need to protect it with every ounce and well-being and wrap it in prayer. So I want us to look not at the broken family tonight, but I want us to look at the loving Father and the example that God has given us of his ability to restore and accept those who repent of their sins. Now, I want you to notice today that even though the younger son's choices were terrible and wicked, and he did the things that were not only displeasing but disgraceful and hurting, as it were, but he came to the place where he came to the knowledge in his mind to return to the Father. And the Bible tells us that when he went to the Father was looking for him. And I want you to notice this evening that there are times when we do abundantly above what God would have us to do. But you think about this. We do not change the character of our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the same God that created man in perfection and created this beautiful Garden of Eden, where sin entered into it, he still desires to have a positive relationship with us and for us to reach out to him in our time of trouble, in our time of joy, in our time of greatness. God does not want to be put in a little box somewhere in the corner of your closet that you go back to as like an emergency rescue program or something. God wants to be a part of our life. Somebody say amen. Because he has given everything in the universe, the most valuable, precious thing in the entire universe was his beloved son, who gave upon the cross of Calvary that he died that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And he's given us the Holy Spirit that through him we might have a spiritual, a personal relationship with God. And even though the son stepped away and he just devastated everything in his life, when he came to the point where he would come to the Father was ready to accept him back in. I asked this question this morning at Still Creek. Do you believe that God hears all prayers? And that's a different message. But I'm telling you what, there are times in each one of our lives because of the things that we've done that were such a disgrace to God and some of the things that we would never, ever do over again. I think that Satan gets in our head and causes us to wonder if God could ever forgive us and God could ever love us. And the truth of the matter, he does. And some of the people, being very transparent, that you don't see in this auditorium tonight, didn't see them this morning, it's because of the fact they've got into the place that I don't know what they've done, and it doesn't matter to me, but I think they've got it in their head that God the Father would struggle to forgive them, and that's wrong. And it keeps them out of the house of God. It keeps them from the fellowship that God has sought. So we see the younger son made terrible, wicked choices, but they did not change God's nature. It didn't change the father's character. It didn't change the father's love. The objectives of him raising his son were never changed. And the Bible tells us that in verse 20, we see this reunion in the making, how marvelous it is. The Bible says that the son arose in verse 20, and he came to his father. But when his father was yet when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran. Aren't you glad today that we have a Father who is anxious to forgive, who is willing to give us that second chance and that third chance and that fourth chance? Your life may be very different than mine, but I'm telling you transparently, there's not a day that goes by that I don't say, God, my Father, please forgive me of something that I have done today. And by the way, it's usually a list, and so is yours. We have the sin of omission. We have the sin of commission. We have the things we ought to do, the things we ought not to do. And during the course of any given day, yes, maybe we're not bank robbers and thugs and that kind of stuff, but we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And we ask him every day to restore that relationship with us. Well, I want us to look at the response that came after this. The father saw him. The father ran to him. The father had compassion. He fell upon his neck, and he physically showed him love as he embraced him. And then I want you to look in verse 21. The son repents, and in verse 22, it just sets in motion the message for this evening, this beautiful, beautiful picture of God's love towards us. We see five distinct things here that the Father does for the Son who's been restored. In verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and to put it on him. And Brother Vinoy, you were talking about the best land. And I think that sometimes we look at ourselves and we lose sight of the fact that God wants the very best for us. Now, we live in a world that's cursed. We live in a world that's wicked. Somebody say amen. We live in a world that sometimes it's hard to follow the path that God has laid before us. But he wants the very best for us in everything. I want you to get this picture in your mind. You know, we do the flannel graph thing, particularly with the kids, and sometimes those are, you know, well drawn, and it draws this picture. But this son that would have just come over the hill, I believe that he was battered, Brother Rick. I believe he was scarred. I believe he was emaciated. He had not had, any food or any care. Brother Vinoy, I think that he smelled bad. I think that he was poorly groomed. You know, he was probably just a shambles, as it were. Now, I want you to think about this. When the father saw him and the father greeted him, the servants were around. And by the way, we don't talk too much about the servants, but could you not imagine the excitement of the servants? Compare him to the angels. Brother Ralph, they had helped raise this little boy, right? I mean, they had cooked his food and prepared his clothes and what have you. And when the father turned to them, you think about this, Brother Vinoy. They know that the father could have went either way. He could have said, my son's back. I want you to go get some sackcloth. And I want you to wrap him up. Didn't we take down some old curtains from the old room and wrap him up in that until we get him cleaned up? But the good father didn't say that, Brother Gary. He said, I want you to go get the best robe. Go get the best robe. And even though he's dirty and filthy and we're going to have to clean him up and he's such a mess and the world has had such a terrible impact on him, I want the world to see my love for him. And I'm going to wrap him up in the best thing I've got around. And by the way, I don't think it was just the best robe. I think it was a distinctive robe. I think it had the family's name on it, or if there was a family crest or something along that line. That he wrapped up the son and said, this is my son that was dead, and now he is alive again. You think about that as we walk through this world around us today. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like people take a stand for everything. And you go down the street, and I notice everything. It's a curse I have. But, you know, you go down and you see a car, and it's got this sticker on it, and this sticker on it, and this thing hanging in the mirror, or what have you. And these people are identifying with something intentionally, right? You know, and I don't care what it is. It could be a sports program or some activity you do or something that you believe in. I'm going to tell you today, and I want every one of us to get this, left side, right side, middle, all the way to the back. If you are a child of God, you are wrapped up in his robe. You are carrying the image of the Father out into the world around us today. And I think it is just so important that we realize God saves us and he wraps us in his robe, even though we're not worthy. And God does that, just like the good father does, expecting us to clean and prepare ourselves, and maybe we'll never be worthy of wearing that robe, but to wear it appropriately. Here's the problem we have, Brother Vinoy. And this is a real problem to me. And if you don't like it, you can take it up with me. We have too many people who come to the altar and they talk about getting saved and they talk about having a relationship with God, and nothing changes in their life. And the Father puts that robe around them, Brother Ralph, and they walk back out into the mud puddles. God didn't put the robe around us that we could just live like the world. In fact, I'm a big believer in what is it the Bible says, that we were to be a peculiar people. We're to be separated from the world. And when we've got the Father's robe on us, we ought to look like we're the Father's son. Amen? Not always easy. But everybody else has got an ism or some activity that they promote. We ought to look like we're the child of God. The Father said, first, bring me the best robe and put it upon him. The second thing that we see from the Father is also in verse 22. And it says, and put a ring on his finger. We had a wonderful day at Harmony Church Missions today, and it was an unusual day. It was a bit of a surprise. Brother Larry Browder, wonderful man, he preached for us today. It was his turn in the rotation. And he had a surprise for his wife. Today was their 57th wedding anniversary. And he started off, and he approached the pulpit and read some scriptures, and he called his wife up, and there was some acknowledgement of that 57 years. And Brother Vinoy, I know you've done a lot of weddings. I've done a few weddings. I've done a lot more funerals than I've done weddings. And one of the most important things that you'll ever see at a wedding ceremony is what? The giving of the rings. Amen? It is a symbolism that says, I'm committed to you, and I'm committed to you, and I'm going to make certain promises to you, and as long as breath is in my lungs, I'm going to try to be that person that I want to be towards you. You think about the beauty of the marriage ceremony. Do you, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, all of these beautiful promises that we make. And I think the Father looked at the Son and said, I'm going to make you a promise. You've been out in the world, and I know you're hurting, and I know that your life is a mess, but you're my Son, and I'm going to put this ring on your finger as a commitment that I'm never going to back away from that. You'll always be my Son. I'm telling you, church, if we could just get in our heart the love of God, the price that he's paid for us, the importance that we have for him, the grace and the mercy that just flows from heaven, the desires that he has for our life and for us to know him, it would show that ring that we have upon our finger from the Father. The ring that says, nobody's going to take you away from me. I am committed to you just as you are committed to me. The third thing I want you to see this evening is one I had to think about for a while, and God gave me the message. Verse 22, but the Father said to the servants, bring forward the best robe and put it on him. And in verse 22, and put a ring on his finger. And I had to think about this one. I really had to pray about it, Brother Vinoy, and put shoes on his feet. Now here was the irony of it, Jennifer. This guy's a runner, I mean, he's just coming back, right? And what are we going to do? We're going to give him a bicycle, right, so he can go further. But you start thinking about that, Brother Vinoy. The Father looked at him in his terrible, broken condition, and he said, I want to wrap him up in my love. I want people to see that he's mine, and I want to see people to see the commitment I have for him, and I want to put some shoes on his feet. Now, you start thinking about this. When we're in the world around us today, we walk among destruction. We walk on broken ground, right? And what does it do? It destroys our feet. Now, most of us today, we're tenderfoots. If we said we have to take off our shoes and walk to the car, most of us would have a 911 call, before we got there. We're just not used to that. And you think about this son that came home. He had come from a far land. I doubt he had any kind of sandal or shoes. And Brother Vinoy, when he would have reached his father, his feet would have been just destroyed. You think about that. Bloodied and bruised and dirty and filthy. And you got to remember that feet and the health of your feet was a big thing. Even one of Jesus' last acts was the washing of the feet of his disciples. But I had to think about, why would the Father call for the shoes? You see, Brother Vinoy, I believe that the shoes were insulation, separation from the world that was around him. His son had walked in the place where it just destroyed him, where his feet were battered and the difficulty and the damage that was there. And I think the Father was telling him, Brother Gary, I trust you, and I don't want you to ever go through again what you've had to walk through in this past time when you've been away. You think about the day that we live in. We live in a dark world with a great deal of danger that's out there. And I think that God wants us to be insulated, our feet to be protected, as it were. You know, the Bible tells us that we're going to be in the world, but not of the world. And it's pretty much impossible to function in the world around us today and to be reclusive or what have you. You're going to bump into people here, and you're going to bump into people, and you got to go here, and you know, you take a vacation, you see this, you go to the job site, and what have you. But I'm going to tell you, we don't have to do it without having our feet shod with the Word of God and the things that God has given us that we might follow Him on the path that He has before us, walking in truth and just walking in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you think about the importance of that. This father said, I love my son, and one of the things I want to make sure I do is try to insulate him from the world that he just stepped out of. We go on. That was three of the gifts. And we go on to the fourth. And I really want to hit this fourth one in verse 23. And the father said, and bring forth the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. We've talked about the condition of the son. The Bible tells us that he was so desperate, he would have eaten, you know, basically a corn husk, as it were. And we know there's no nutrition in that there's no enjoyment in that. But his belly was just empty, Brother Gary. He was just dying for something, literally, that would nourish him in some ways. Now, we think about the fatted calf, as it were, because of the protein it would have brought and the celebration, as it were. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Vinoy, I think that the reason for the fatted calf here was it was just going to help to get his son back healthy again the way that he should be. He needed something to eat, something to consume, that would begin to rebuild what he had. Here we are. We're 3 years since the beginning of COVID-19. I remember where I was at the first time I heard the word, and I asked someone. It was I was at physical therapy, and they were talking. I said, "Spell it, COVID." I'm like, "Where do you get that from? You know, what are you talking about, right?" Y'all remember kind of where you were at, because it was about 3 years ago that the world was beginning to change. This was coming to fruition. By February, it was bad. By March, you know, they shut down everything, what have you. We lost a lot of really good people. We really did. I believe there were people who have not been back to church since COVID-19, some of them out of fear, you know, some of them out of circumstance, and some of them just saying, well, you know, we're okay. We don't have to go back to church. You know, I mean, we're okay. We'll read our Bible. I got a devotional. Right? I mean, it's half a page. You know, I can read my half a page and I'll be okay. Here's the problem. We need nourishment, even as the children of God. Amen? Now, Miss Hannah, I always love to hear you sing. I appreciate that. Her song was beautiful. It speaks to my soul. I hear that song, and I hear other songs, and I hear the preaching of God's word, and I see the testimony of his of faithfulness from his church and his followers, and it nourishes me. Amen? People ask, Brother Mike, you know, this is my fourth service today. They're like, you know, you must live a pretty rough life. You go to church four times on Sunday. You know, what kind of denomination is that? It just works out that way, and I'm blessed to be in church, you know, as often as I can. And I'm thankful for that. But do you realize we live in a world around us today where you see a lot of people that are children of the Father and they are malnourished? They don't know the Word of God. They don't invest any time in prayer. Somebody say amen. You know, they are just out there. And listen, it always concerns me. Hey, come to our church. Come to a revival. Well, you know, I might. I don't know. I'll put it on my schedule. As a child, we ought to have a desire to spend time with the Father. We have one grandson, and I tell you what, he's a sweetheart, and we love Mr. William, little Liam. We love William, And once a week, we get a chance to spend time with him usually, you know, and we'll get, he'll come over and he'll hang out one night. And Cindy actually made a mistake. She came to the ladies' thing yesterday, and she left me alone with William. We learned about chocolate syrup and smoothies, you know, and tasty cereal, that kind of stuff. I hope my son doesn't see this tape. I'm in trouble. But I'm telling you, I desire to spend time with my family, all of them. And don't you have that desire in your heart, seriously, to spend time with God? And you hear a song on the radio and it just touches you. Or somebody will come by you, Brother Vinoy, and they've got the Jesus symbol on their shirt or whatever. Or you talk to somebody, I love this, and somebody will check you out at a restaurant or something, and you know, the cashier, and you have a blessed day. Well, thank you. You know, and that's that word opens the conversation of saying you are another believer in Christ. The opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Well, this young man, when he came back to the Father, he was probably nothing except, you know, a bag of skin and bones. And the Father said, I want you to go get the fatted calf. And I want you to harvest that thing. And I want you to heat up the grill. And you know, and we're going to get some protein. We're going to get something good into this guy. And they probably went and got, you know, corn cakes and, you know, potatoes, whatever they had, right? But initially, Brother Vinoy, there was an urgency to get something in this guy that helped him to get stronger. God's word, his church that he shed his precious blood for, the power of prayer, fellowship one with another, these are the things that nourish us. That's the truth. And the folks that have disappeared in the last 3 years, I pray for them. I'm very concerned for them because they need that same fellowship if they're going to be healthy. The fifth thing that we see is one thing I want to call out. So we see the robe, symbolic of our testimony, God's love towards us, visible demonstration as a child of God. We see the ring, the symbol of commitment, an unbreakable promise that the Father had given to his beloved Son. We see the shoes that insulate, protect, that separate us from the world, as it were, the fatted calf that brings nutrition. And then we get to these last few words in verse 23, let us eat and be merry. And I'm going to tell you today, I think the fifth gift that the Father gave to the Son was the gift of joy. The gift of joy. Now, listen, it's hard to be happy all the time. And in fact, there are times in your life when things aren't going well. If you're laughing and happy about it, people wonder if you're sane, you know, because there's just going to be rough days, you know. There's going to be days you hurt, and there's going to be days when you're just overwhelmed by circumstances. But listen, in the child of God's life, those should not be the dominant. Somebody say amen. You think about this young man that had just returned. Brother Larry, he had just come back from the worst experience that anybody could ever imagine. He was humbled. Brother Vinoy, he was shamed. He had just spent half of his father's entire earnings. He'd wasted that living. He was hungry and filthy and nasty, and he came back and said, even in his heart he knew, he said, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. Maybe my father will take me back and let me dig post holes on the ranch or something. You know, maybe he'll let me feed the pigs here, and at least I'll have something to eat. But his father ran to him and fell upon him and showed him love that was not merited. And by the way, every one of us here, starting with this guy, we are a child of love that is unmerited. Grace that is not earned by our works. Grace that is given by the love of God that we can't even begin to understand. And God wants us to walk forward in joy and to have happiness in our life. And to show that and to express that as an outward way, amen, to the world around us. Now, you may not like this, and particularly it being Sunday evening, and I'm going to say this, but we had a young lady in our church years ago, and she worked in a restaurant, Brother Vinoy, and she was very open. You know, she was very transparent. So was her mom. And she would tell me, she'd say, Brother Steve, she said, I don't mind to work. And she was a hard worker. She said, but I really kind of hate Sunday afternoon because the church comes in, you know, and they're mean, and they're mean to me, and they're mean to each other. I see some, yeah, the chin goes up and down. That's a yes. Maybe you've seen it someplace. And that ought to be the opposite of where we're at. You think about it. We have the promise of eternal life. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a church family and people that care about us. Brother Wayne, I love you, buddy. You've been my friend for almost 40 years. Love you and Miss Carol. This is my brother and sister, not just in Christ. But you all ever stop and think about this, and I'm completely transparent. I spend a lot of time with you. I don't spend much time with my two sisters and my natural brother. And it's not that we don't get along with each other, but you think about it. We spend a lot more time with each other as the family of God, with our spiritual family, than we do our physical, natural family, as it were. And I want to be lifted up by the joy of God. And I want to be able to share with you a smile and a testimony. And when you hurt and you don't feel good, then you're just going to push through that. And when things come up and you don't agree with them, well, I'll tell you what, there's a verse in the Bible that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I would encourage everybody to memorize that one. Put it right in the front of your eyes, you know, as it were. Not every day is going to be easy. But Brother Ralph, the Father intended for us to walk in joy and to be merry and to spread that to the world around us today. Isn't it amazing that, you know, we invite people to church and sometimes we wonder, if they watched me, they watched my family, would they think it was something desirable that they would want? Now, I'm not suggesting that we're going to be perfect in any way. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you that the joy of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us and the Father giving that fifth gift to the younger son. The Bible tells us there was another son. The other son, he was self-righteous. You know, he was negative, as it were. And really, in a lot of ways, he was just as bad as his brother. And his father forgave him too. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a world around us today that needs to understand you could be the prodigal or you could be the self-righteous. You don't change the character of God. He loves his children. And each one of us is special to him in a unique way. He has a special plan for you, Brother David, for your life. And for Miss Teresa and for myself and for Brother Wayne and for Michael and for Brother John. Each one of us is wearing the robe of God, and he has his hand upon our lives. I don't do a lot of reading of commentaries and that kind of thing. I guess it shows. But I read one of them, and it was talking about the story of a woman named Maria who lived outside of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And the woman was married at an early age. She had a little girl whose name was Christina. And a few years after Christina was born, Maria's husband died, which left her being a young widow. And it was very difficult. No money. And by the way, I know you've traveled internationally, and some of y'all, if you've ever been to one of these countries, you realize what no money looks like. No money overseas doesn't look like no money in the U.S. Maria raised Christina. Christina always, always resented the poverty, the lack of everything. And as Christina began to realize the pictures of the world that were outside of Mom's house, she said, one day I'll go and get that. One day, I'm smart, you know, I'll go and get a job. I'll go into a big city. I'll go to a place, and my world's going to turn around. I'm going to make it happen because I'm Christina and I can make it happen. Well, sure enough, one day, Christina was older, young adult. Mom went into the room, and Christina had left overnight, had snuck away, left a note. Mom knew exactly what was going to happen to Christina. She was smart. She had some things going for her. But a little bit of a curse, Brother Vinoy, she was also very pretty. Mom knew how it would work out. Christina had escaped. Mom sold everything that she had. She bought a bus ticket. And as she waited for the bus to take her into Rio de Janeiro, where she knew that the daughter would go, she found a little photo booth. And with the money that she had, she put in the coins, and she took all of these black and white pictures that she could, Brother Vinoy, of herself. Seems strange. As she rode the bus into Rio de Janeiro, she took the page, and she flipped each one over on the back. And on the back of the picture of herself, she would write a note. She put it aside, get another picture, write another note. And for as long as she was able to do it, she searched that city. And she looked in the lowest parts of that city, the bars and the places of, where wickedness would occur. And when she didn't find her daughter, she would leave the picture on a mirror or on a bulletin board. And the story said that there was a day when Christina was leaving a hotel. And she looked over, and on a mirror, there was a picture of her mom. And she recognized her, Brother Gary, and she went over to the picture. And she pulled that picture off. And she turned it over, and with tears in her eyes, her mom had written the same thing on the back of each picture. Christina, I don't know where you are, and I don't care what you've done. I want you to come home because I love you. Well, this story is a story of a father's love. Any of us as parents can imagine how much we love our children. And I don't care what they've done. I love my sons. I love my daughter. I love my grandson. And I hope there's never a day where there's anything that comes between us. But I'm going to tell you that it's not possible that there could ever be a day when anything comes between you and the love of God the Father. He is the good Father. And I don't know what your life situation is. Maybe you know somebody in this situation. But you've not went so far, and you've not done such terrible things that he's turned his back on you. He wants you to come home. Shall we pray? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here at Bible Way this evening. Lord, you gave me this simple message. And I pray, Lord, that it's been presented in the way that you would have it to be presented this evening. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, I just don't even know where to begin that you would take a filthy wretch like me and like us, and that you would forgive us our sins, and that you would wash away those stains that are so just deep in our life and wash us white as snow. Lord, I thank you for Jesus who died upon the cross at Calvary that we might have life eternal. And God, I pray tonight, I don't know the heart of anybody in this building except myself, that Lord, if there's someone here today that they're not in a right relationship with you, that you'll touch that heart and show them, Lord, what price has already been paid that they could have eternal life. And Lord, if they're walking out of fellowship with you, that they can come home, and that you want to put that ring on their finger. You want to put that robe on them. You want to, Lord, put those shoes on their feet to insulate them from the world around them. Lord, I just love you tonight. I ask you, Lord, that you just have your hand in all things. Lord, you've been so good to us. Help us, Lord, to follow in the path that you would have us to go. These things, Lord, we ask in your blessed name. Amen.